that kid is killing themselves to be captain of the volleyball team and keep a 4.0 GPA. It also seemed to skew areas who...
Our peer and aspirational institutions have moved back towards requiring test scores for... First item on the full agenda is a request to amend the undergraduate admissions policies at the A&M campus related to standardized testing requirements. Currently, LSU A&M operates under a test optional policy approved by the Board of Supervisors in June 2022. This practice was adopted in the post-COVID context when many universities moved away from requiring standardized tests. At that time, the consensus was that test scores were not strong predictors of future success and were seen mainly as a snapshot of current academic skills. However, more recent analysis of our own students' success data tells us a different story. From 2021 to 2024, students admitted under the test optional pathway had retention rates that were, on average, 4.3% percentage points lower than students who submitted test scores. Their average first-term GPAs were also 0.29 points lower than comparable students admitted with test scores. This suggests that standardized test scores still provide meaningful information as one part of a comprehensive review. Nationally, many of our peer and aspirational institutions have moved back towards requiring test scores for some or all applicants, including about half of the SEC. We are therefore proposing to reinstate standardized testing as one of the several factors considered for freshman admission using a phased implementation. Beginning with summer 2027, applicants with a weighted high school GPA below 3.5 would be required to submit test scores. Then, beginning in summer 2028, the test score requirements would apply to all freshman applicants, regardless of GPA. LSU A&M's proposal is intended to both support student success and to keep us aligned with the evolving national landscape. Thank you for your consideration of this item.
Are there any questions?
Yes, yes. I guess you could address for me some of the concerns that I would have. We moved away from standardized testing. I know I was on the board when we did that for a few reasons. One, kids in rural areas who don't have the same access to testing programs and pre-test preparation and some of the other resources that kids in other areas may have, which then seemed at that time to skew the outcome. So if you live in an urban area with more access to testing help, then you were gonna do better than the kid in a rural area who's a 4.0 valedictorian but can't walk across the street to a testing center. It also seemed to skew admission and results along socioeconomic lines. My parents could not have afforded for me to go to a testing center and pay for a testing tutor and buy the extra ACT prep. And there are plenty of kids who we want at LSU who don't come from households where they can afford to get that additional help on testing. And so you have a kid who's from an impoverished background or a single parent family where that kid is killing themselves to be captain of the volleyball team and keep a 4.0 GPA and demonstrating all of the things that we want in someone to work hard as a student, but because they don't match up with the kid who can afford, who maybe has a lower GPA, not working as hard, doesn't have to bust tail, but can afford the best testing and the one-on-one tutor for the ACT and the SAT, then the hardworking kid from the impoverished background is also at a disadvantage. We've also seen over the years that there's testing bias built into the tests. And so, you know, when the test is designed by so-and-so from the Northeast, and they're phrasing questions that our kid from Bunky doesn't really get because they don't have to shovel snow or whatever they do in their test question, then they don't get it, right? They don't get the question because it's designed by someone in Connecticut or whatever, and it doesn't apply to our kids here. It's not part of their life. So for those reasons, which seem to be very compelling reasons for us to use test scores as one criteria but not determinative and mandatory, why are we now going back to a situation that would seem to once again make the playing field uneven for these kids?
Absolutely, and thank you for the question, Supervisor Williams. So one piece of this is that for our admissions for the A&M campus, we look at the entire portfolio of information that's provided by a student. And so to your point, it is a singular piece of information. It's not the entirety or something that, you know, it's one part of what our admissions team is looking at. So that's a critical piece of it. I think the second piece of this is that when we look at the outcomes data for the students that have come in test optional, some of their, you know, their freshman retention rates, the GPAs, they're not as strong as they are for students that took a standardized test. One aspect of that is that the standardized test does help us with placing students in the proper courses that they're going to be most successful in. So for example, a standardized test score in math might help us understand where a student is and where they're going to be most successful. So if they're pursuing a STEM degree, for example, if they did not have a strong standardized test score in math, it's not something that would disqualify them from coming to LSU. What it would do, though, is it would put us in a position to where we could get that student in the math class that is going to make them most successful during their time here at LSU.
So are we going to have, so the test is not going to be, there's not going to be a cutoff, it's simply going to be a screening tool for placement?
It's one piece of the portfolio. So we have a letter of recommendation that's part of the portfolio, GPA that's part of the portfolio, and so that would remain the same.
So there won't be a hard, and it's been a long time since I took the ACT, so I don't know that I even know what the right score is, but if 20, let's say, so there won't be a line, like if you're below 20, you're out, if you're above 20, you're in, we just want everyone to have taken a test and you're gonna consider it?
It's considered, as one piece of the review process.
Without a hard sort
of line. I think the only, and again, this becomes a regent's question, there are some minimum requirements that the regents require for all institutions that are outside of what we do here. Now at the same time, Chancellor Dalton, if you'd like to add on that particular point.
I'll just answer your question directly, Supervisor Williams. No, we're not setting a hard minimum for admissions. We're going to use it as one component of the of our comprehensive evaluation of students.
And I'd be interested, you're new to the institution, you've come from other institutions. What's your perspective on the move back to testing and the concerns I've raised?
I've seen it. I've seen it everywhere. I saw it at my prior institution, as well as the ones before that. And we're seeing a nationwide move back to standardized testing for the reasons that Dr. Blanchard put forward. I think as we've learned, there's certainly those biases that exist in standardized testing, whether it be from socioeconomic status, the rural background. The examples that you gave, I think, are still valid today. What we've also learned since the pandemic, when a larger percentage of institutions went to test optional, is that it's also a predictive factor for success at the university. As Dr. Blanchard mentioned, we got about a 4.3% difference between those that provide a test versus those don't when they come into LSU. Given the charge from the board to be the preeminent flagship in the state and increase our drive towards excellence, this is another tool that we can use to evaluate students and make sure they get placed appropriately in the courses that they will be successful at LSU. I'll add on, and I'll mention this later, this year we have over 63,000 applications to LSU. We've got more Louisiana students that are enrolled at LSU than we ever have before, and this is a part of that process of making sure that when students apply to LSU that we have every piece of information that we can have to ensure their success.
I just wanted to comment on Supervisor Williams that you summed it up in your opening statement perfectly. It will be just another variable that we use to in a total comprehensive evaluation of the student. So what you said that we were going to do is exactly what we're trying to move back towards. We just want that piece in the puzzle. So when you summed up your final statement, I said I wanted to interrupt and say that's exactly what we're going to do.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm clearly not as quick as James, but I have a couple of questions related to ACT testing. And our ACT average at LSU is 24, 25. Where are we?
I don't have those numbers in front of me, but I think it's a little bit higher than that.
A little higher than 24, 25. 26. Okay. So if an individual does not have a 26 ACT, it curtails their chances of getting accepted to LSU. That's a question and a comment.
Again, it's part of our comprehensive evaluation, so that would be one piece of the puzzle. We're not setting a minimum at 26 or 20 or whatever that number might be, unless there's a rule by the Board of Regents that requires as such. So it's a piece of the puzzle for us. We're not going to set a limit at any number. I think we have to look at, as Supervisor Williams said very, very comprehensively, we got to look at high school GPA. We got to look at their involvement in local organizations, whether they're on the football team, whether they're involved in the church, whether they're holding down two jobs, the whole gamut of things that helps us identify the student's potential to be successful at LSU.
So obviously, we'll certainly weight that individual if they're five-star tackle.
Many students come to us with special talents, sir.
I understand. All right. And
Supervisor Temple, just real quick, it's 27.
It's 27?
Yes.
So the average ACT at LSU is 27. Okay. So, again, I'm just asking questions. So that really puts a limit on individuals from rural spaces who don't have physics and calculus and trig and what have you. So as we develop these spaces to admit students, we really need to be careful about how we weight what's important. I'm just echoing what James is saying and saying it a little differently, but it's critically important. Yeah.
Are there any other questions?
Yeah. Thank you, Madam Chair. And for many of the reasons articulated by Supervisor Williams, which I agree with, I appreciate the President's views on this, that this is only one piece of the full series of variables that we're going to consider. I think that's very, very important for inclusion. I'm also heartened by the references to rural people and which great education's there, but maybe not the course offerings or some of the opportunities in more rural areas that put people at disadvantages. I'm confident that we have the ability to consider all of those factors when making the determination. I'm also very encouraged by at this time here in 2026, and we've all heard in higher education about the significance of the year 2026 in terms of application and enrollment. We're seeing a tremendous amount of interest in people wanting to attend LSU, young people wanting to be LSU Tigers. And Dr. Blanchard's remarks about some other body determining who should go to LSU, I take a bit of exception to. I think that LSU is the global brand. I think LSU is who's getting 62,000 applicants for admission, and LSU should be the group of people, the institution, to determine who attends school at LSU. So I appreciate your efforts, Chancellor Dalton and President Roos, on having a fuller picture on who should be students here, and I thank you for your efforts.
Randy.
I want to ask, do y'all have any data for the last year or two that says someone that was admitted on a probationary basis, say a 22 or a 20 ACT, specifically what percent of those students have been successful versus ones that have not been successful?
I think the main item of data that we have that I think is really driving the conversation is that the students who have not reported a test score in their application have very different outcomes in terms of their freshman success rate and their GPA.
But that doesn't mean that you didn't have a vast majority of people who had a 21 that did very well here.
Absolutely. I mean, right. we have students right. who, among the students that provided a test score, which of course is a range because 27 is an average, but right. within that there's a lot of distribution. Mm-hmm. Those students on average did better.
Because there's a lot of kids that work real hard that don't do testing very well on the standardized testing that have been very successful. I'm one of them, okay? So I just want to make sure that we're not saying that the vast majority of students that didn't do well and made a 20 or 21 or 22 are not doing well in school here.
No, and in fact, the students that are reporting standardized test scores, like I said, on average, they do very well, and that includes students who would have reported a 21, a 22, a 23, the whole range. And so absolutely that's the case. And again, you know, this extra piece of information is part of the broad, comprehensive portfolio of review is where we can help students be more successful, which is what it's at the heart of this.
One more comment one more in quick. Terms of supervisor and supervisor Storms. One more comment. Okay. A lot of people want to be Tigers, but there's also the two fastest growing universities in our system are in Alexandria and in Shreveport. And I cannot commend the idea that we're moving this system together and as the way we change and educate Louisiana as one LSU. So they're not only applying for Baton Rouge, they're applying throughout this state. And Eunice, and we're just so thankful for the entire footprint.
Yeah, and just one comment from me, Rebecca, please. People on this board know that I'm was pretty involved and have a pretty strong opinion about the ACT and the data that the Harvards of the world did, as well as the state schools, the Chapel Hills, the Floridas, the others. The data seems, and I've talked to the chancellor and the president, and I think everybody on this board, that when you have a student, for example, that works hard, to James' point, that makes the volleyball team and is active and things and is doing the best they can and still gets a 4.0, 3.8, 3.7, 3.7 or above, I think was the number. But there's a number with all this. When you take this data that has 20 years of studies, those students who maybe average 21, 22 ACT, but do the things I just said, overwhelmingly do better in college than the student who gets a 32 on the ACT but has a 3.2. And Dr. Dalton and Dr. Roos and others know this. And there's the balance, I think, Randy and James with other reasons. But I am highly confident. Because everyone here knows that there's a lot of issues that mean a lot to us, that one I've talked about a lot, and that to me is evidence proof that we can't leave people behind because they don't test well. Many of us, if not all of us, up here would not have qualified. So, but I am very confident that Dr. Dalton, Dr. Roos not only understand this, But and yourself, Troy, that you see Chapel Hill in Florida and our peers, Alabama and others, moving towards bringing this back as a tool. That gives me confidence. The one thing I have confidence in, we have people running the school today that understand that. If I didn't think they understood that, I would be worried. Now, nothing's a guarantee in life. Dr. Dalton, Dr. Roos, you, Troy, may decide that's 30% of something. We think it should be 10. But you're here to run this school, and I don't think that will happen, and I have confidence it won't. So I'm for this for that reason.
Let me tell you some things going on in the state of Louisiana that the K-12 space or cradle to 12 space are doing to prepare kids to come to LSU or any of our schools here in Louisiana. The Louisiana Department of Education has various types of money they give out to help with the preparation for ACT. That all 64 parishes get that money. They have money that they give out for dual enrollment so that the kids, while they're in high school, can be taking college courses. Here on our campus, we have the Kane Center that provides dual enrollment to any of the parishes that want to have dual enrollment classes for their high school kids. And here at LSU, we have changed to be choice only. So if a student, a 16-year-old student, takes a class and they make a C or a D or an F, they don't have to come to college with that on their transcripts. They can say, no, I'm going to retake that class and get a better grade. And so those are all things happening in the cradle to 12th grade to help our students be stronger for a future at college. Did you have another question, Collis?
I just have a comment. I watched Mr. Attorney Avendia make a passionate deal about UNO. And I know James is working really hard about getting UNO pulled together, and I know Chairman Ballard is working real hard. And so I just want to go on record with this group that that's clearly got to be another option. We're talking about an application process of 60,000+ students, and we're going to probably accept 8,000. Is that about right? 9,000. Matriculate about 8,000 or 9,000. So clearly, if you know has the capacity to have 18,000 to 20,000, and they only have 4,000, then that's clearly a path to assist in facilitating other students to get the opportunity to go to school close to Baton Rouge, LSU flagship, so to speak. So I'm just putting that out there that I think it's a great thing, and we need to put extra effort in that. Getting that piece.
I apologize.
Yeah, that's all.
Are there any other questions?
Provost Blanchard, to Supervisor Temple's point, I'm sure that you can ensure that with those students who may not have the ideal score, that once they're admitted, the university does everything they can to support them, right?
Absolutely. There are a variety of programs on campus. I mean, one that comes to mind immediately is just Center for Academic Success, which is, you know, I think for all of our students, they're familiar with that. And we obviously provide a wide variety of services customized to the student just to drive that success. And so no matter what area that could be in, you know, English, math, you name it. So we have a variety of services like that, obviously, that we're always looking to ensure every one of our students has the best possible chance for success possible.
For you all's information, 57 years ago, that was called remedial English.
Also, I'm going to make a plug for LSU Eunice. LSU Eunice has a campus here on A&M. Would you tell us about that? Turn your mic.
I just want to remind everybody about the Bengal to Tiger Bridge program, which has been extraordinarily successful. That is a bridge program for students that are just below being able to be accepted. And I can't speak to what that just below is, but I'm sure it's more than just a test score. And that allows that student to take 12 credit hours in the appropriate classes. Usually it's an English class and a math class and a couple of humanities courses or something out of the general education portfolio. If they complete that with a C or better, then they are automatically transitioned into full admittance into LSU A&M campus. So it's a fabulous accelerated bridge program. It takes those students that are almost there but not quite, for whatever reason that might be. We teach these courses on campus. We're hoping to have full-time faculty on campus very soon to teach these courses. And Jackie Bach was involved in this, and I'm sure, Troy, you were too. When we first did it, we were kind of building the plane as it was flying. We had 7 students. The next year, we had 50, and I think that we have at least 100 now. And we're hoping to, you know, expand that if necessary. So there's lots of on-ramps onto the A&M campus. And why this is so great is that they get to be here, they live here, they have all of the privileges of an LSU student, you know, while they're in this very short transition ramp into full admittance. And I know that we're all delighted with it.
Are there any other questions? Do I have a motion to approve this item?
Second.
Espy? Second. Valencia? All in favor? Any objections? The motion is approved. Provost, please present your next item.